Okay, good afternoon, Sylvia, in this beautiful sun bathing room. How are you?
Hi, Lena. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Awesome day today. Do you
Yeah,
want to
beautiful.
tell us a bit about you, like your little journey and who you are and what you're doing?
How much time do you have? It's
Years.
a pretty long journey. So, to cut a long story short, I used to be an art teacher, and at the moment, I am writing my biographic story down, so my life story. And this is in the context of a project during lockdown, because we were locked out of most things, and somehow that process got started. And now I've been working on it for more than a year, and I'm on the last pages, and it's fantastic. It's really good.
Exciting. And you do as well awesome Japanese tea ceremonies and also pottery. You do so many cool things, but this was just a few. When I thought about that I would love to share on this podcast something about journaling, I thought of you, and then we discovered that you have written most of your life diaries and also just journaled and got into the process of things and how to journal and what's good to
Oh, I
journal
stumbled
and your
into it as a
book.
teenager. You know, I
And you
just
enjoyed
stumbled into
it.
it because I was given three beautiful Oriental diaries in the 70s. They were pretty cool diaries. I just didn't know really what I wanted to put into it. And I started haphazardly copying something from the local newspaper, because there were proverbs and quotes from famous people, poetry, and I liked it. There was wisdom there. In the normal daily paper, there was wisdom, not only good and bad things, and mostly bad things, there was actually wisdom. And I started to collect it. And because I didn't know how to use my own words to express my feelings or anything like that. So that's how I got started. And from there, it evolved over decades and decades. And via visual journaling, I have actually arrived at a stage where I can put pictures and words together.
Amazing. So maybe we just explain a bit what is actually journaling? How can we just what is it?
It's actually a really good question, because what is it? What is the difference between a diary and a journal? Some people make a difference, but in a way, there is no difference, because a diary just means a daily entry into somewhere of recording maybe events, things that happened. And a journal is a French word from jour, meaning day. And journaling means you're recording something, maybe on a daily basis, maybe not. And like a diary, we entry into a diary every day if we can, but sometimes we may not. But it is a repetitive form. Of recording something. And here, my first premise, or my first belief, is that you need to give yourself all the creative license that you can muster, and all the courage to do what you want to do.
In your journal, because I thought it's kind of hence we have been through interesting times that no one has been through, and I'm sometimes thinking the same, that I wake up and I have so many thoughts in my head, and I'm and sometimes you hear things here and there, and like writing this or writing that, or, you know, maybe having a grateful kind of diary at night where you write what you're grateful for or something. So I was like thinking this like a great topic to share with you, because I think it's actually kind of nice to get a bit like step by step how I could, I or pretty much everyone else that is listening or wants to do it can learn or start like a journal, you know, like start to write things down, or as you said so nicely, be yourself, express yourself in a book. So if someone wants to start this kind of process, what do you think or recommend or would be nice to start with?
It actually starts with you. And that's the process to have to go through and to find out how you want to start. So you can stumble into it like I did when I was a teenager and just look at the empty book. You can get yourself a book by yourself, a really nice, beautiful diary, and start writing. You know, when you sit long enough in front of the empty page, maybe you think, I could write something down. But very often we write something and we don't like what we write, and then we stop again, because what's the point of doing it? Now we can write, this morning I had breakfast, then I went for a walk, then I met with a friend, and then I did this, and then I did that, and there was somebody new I met, and now I'm going to bed. you can do that every day. But you can also do the journaling more creative, and you can also do an inquiry while you're journaling, which means you actually find something out about yourself, who you are, how you are being in the world, and be open to whatever comes up, because there's the surface on which we live, and there is layers underneath that are probably telling more about us than we know, than we sometimes want to admit, or than we show to others. And it's good if at least we know who we are, and explore a bit deeper, you know, where, maybe like I do at the moment, where do I come from and where am I going? Important is, for me, that I do actually an embodied inquiry. I have recently completed a master's in therapeutic arts practice, and that has, of course, helped me a lot to understand processes and to understand techniques that can help to go through an inquiry process. And that's what I have done, but I have done that even before that. And when I look at all the diaries, and in a moment, I can actually show you some examples of different ways that I have done it. And I feel, yeah, I have known that already, yeah, before I now have studied it and can put a terminology to it and know what those techniques are. I have used them intuitively before. And that's something else that is integrated into body work and embodied inquiries, where we work with felt sense that you have actually explored in another interview, as I know, because, you know, I have seen it and I know the person, Virati. And I really love that technique.
Focusing,
that
you mean. Yeah.
Focusing. Yeah. Felt sense focusing, it's called. That's the complete work. But yeah, there's a focusing school here in Melbourne, I think. But it's actually felt sense and felt sense focusing based on Gendlin. Yeah, that's what I am working with.
Yeah. Do you want to show us your journals?
One thing at a time, because it can be quite overwhelming. So
okay,
Maybe we start at the start to make it a little bit easier. Because if we want to get in touch with ourselves, our inner selves, we actually need to focus on the moment, the present moment, and on our bodies. And what I was going to say was that innate wisdom is actually in our bodies. That's where we find it. No, we have a head, we have a heart, and we have hands, and of course they are working together. But we can actually, as human beings, we have a tendency to disappear into our heads, or we are all heart, or we are all body. Sometimes we can actually, you know, be dominated by one area. And if we are in our head, we often go into the past, or we go into the future. So we go back to things that we have experienced, and that may have been really good, or that may have been troubling. Or we go into the future because we have had an experience in the past, and then we go into the future because we fear something like this could happen again, or, you know, we are already worrying about something that could happen that hasn't even happened yet. So important is that we find a safe space for ourselves. And as an art therapist, I know that it is very important for people to have this safe space to start with. And if people want to use journaling in a therapeutic way, self-healing, that is possible. It's a really good thing to do. Many psychologists and art therapists work with it, but there is also care to be taken, because if anxiety is overwhelming, then you might actually need some support by somebody who actually knows what they're doing. Because body experiences can be overwhelming if something is triggered that comes up from the past and that we project then into the future and we don't feel safe anymore. So that's what I have to be putting into the front and say, okay, if you feel at any time unsafe, then maybe look for somebody who can support you in that process. Otherwise, yeah, you're absolutely fine exploring and doing it yourself and use it for your own healing and have fun with it and really be creative.
Who would you say to make that clear, like who can support you? What exactly you said when someone feels anxious, like what kind of support would you recommend?
If somebody is anxious, it depends in a degree of being anxious and having real anxiety that is threatening. We are social beings, and it may be already the presence of another person can actually calm us down, because we are together in the present moment and the other person can actually hold the space for that for that person. And all is fine, you know, you're here, you're with me. It's all good. Yeah? Nothing can happen. And they can point out that we are actually here. And we'll look around, look at the ceiling, look out the window. Everything's fine. Yeah? Nothing wrong. Oh. I was just in my head, no, projecting, or something was triggered. So you could just work with a friend. You could work with another person you meet somewhere who has also an interest in journaling and do it together. Can be more fun. You can work apart, but you can also share something. You could work with an art therapist. You could work with a psychotherapist if you think there are big problems and if you get really stuck and that triggers you.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's just good to know, to get an idea that someone doesn't think I need a psychologist next to me to do journaling when I have anxiety. And so I never start because I don't want to see a psychologist. So I just wanted to make this clear for someone that might listen.
Yes, thank you. But on the other hand, you can also stumble into it and then get to a point where it becomes overwhelming because something gets triggered. And you're on your own, and you actually feel it is overwhelming. So, and then you stop, and that is not the point of it either. Yeah, you will probably never go back to journaling ever again.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find that balance. And when we stay in our bodies, now we start with a way where you are actually safe. And that is where you can always go back to. So that is here and now in the present. So now to your question, where to start is actually in the here and now. And how I would start is go to a space, your space, make a space yours. Like I'm here in my room. I can close the door. I have everything I need around me, and I feel absolutely safe in here. So I can cry, I can scream, I can write, I can have a great time. It's always a good place to be. And that is important. I don't know where you are. Are you in a safe space?
Yeah, I'm in my room here, in my beautiful room, with my painting, and I have a candle here, and I'm in my cozy chair. Yeah. And I have the door closed because I don't live alone, so that the interview doesn't take more background noise on. I have also the window closed.
I just noticed I have the door open. I think I'll close it. More safe.
Because we also have cats. Maybe they sometimes come in.
Yes.
I like to also, even for those interviews, even to create a space where I feel that I have like my tea with the queen on it. With my peppermint tea,
and I have you create some space
where I feel so cozy that I can completely let go and be in the presence of the other person.
Really beautiful.
Thank you for asking.
If you don't have a whole room, you can just create a section in a room. Now that's your corner where you have a table or a little desk or something where you have what you need and things that make you comfortable and are really comfortable and that connect you to the present moment, to here and now. And then sit down and make yourself comfortable. And the way I start is sit down with your feet flat on the ground and your back straight, and notice your breath. Breathe in and breathe out. And notice your breath. And you can actually do a meditation, a small meditation. You know, you can go and contact your body. How is my body? How am I today? Yeah. Is there something? How's my heart? Is my breath slow or fast? How am I sitting here in this space? And become aware of what is present. And that's what focusing is also about. So you focus on the moment and you focus on your body. And your body usually is very smart. It's very intelligent. And it wants to tell you what it actually needs. It tells you what is. Very often we don't listen to it because we have other things in our head and we need to go here and there and we need to do this and that, and we push it away. And we're not listening to it, and that can actually become a habit. So we have to undo this kind of learning, and we relearn to listen to our our bodies. Yeah. What is my body telling me now? What is your body telling you now?
Mine, I have an itchy nose from the outside, but I mostly find this actually when I'm relaxing, that I just get some tingles. And, you know, when I really just sit and focus and concentrate, then, yeah, it seems like, I know, it's just on the outside, not inside, but it's just like on top of here. It's just, I feel like a tingle. But, yeah, otherwise my body is cozy.
What do you reckon that means? What does your body want to tell you with your nose?
I don't know.
Is there anything that could be connected to that?
Well, I mean, I have some essential oil open here that could be, and I diffuse something there as well, because I found this really nice smelling nice things in my room as well,
that
in my space.
You. Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, but like sometimes I just feel it's what I feel is that sometimes I think I got a lot of sunburns on my nose, specifically in summer. And sometimes I feel like I had like for a few weeks this kind of pimples on my nose, like, and I was like, what is this? Like, am I too acidic? Or but they're gone now, but I feel I think, yeah, when I really relax, there's obviously some energy moving and it just goes to spaces and then it's kind of tingling. It might be, it feels more like a healing kind of tingling, because I feel really in the present moment and then, yeah.
So a healing tingling. Now, here is actually something that you could use as an exit point, access point. I can tell that you are very well in contact with your body in terms of healing and knowing what your body reactions are to certain things in your environment.
Mm.
I also know that because I know you personally, but this comes out from this. Even if I didn't know you, I could say, look, this may be actually an access point for you to start exploring your body from that point, a healing tingling, yeah? And you could look further into that.
Yeah.
We could also, start in a different way. We could say, have a look around. Do you have a window in your room?
Yes.
Can you look outside?
Yeah, I mean, I close the curtains a bit because I have a fence and I know all my neighbors, and if I would sit here and they see me, everyone would wave or knock on the window and say hi. But yeah, I can see how a little
bit. You could look outside if you have access to window, or you could look inside the room. So you could choose something outside that actually catches your attention. So you would spend a moment, after a quick meditation, you could spend a moment just really observe carefully outside in nature,
beautiful,
or whatever you see, something that interests you, something that stands out, and then capture that moment. Or if you haven't got outside, you can also, inside the space where you are, you can focus on an object, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can choose an object that speaks to you, where you think, oh yeah, this is something, I choose this. And then you bring that in, and then you actually describe what you are seeing. So I'll leave it up to you. I don't know if you want to go through a session that might take some time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, for example, see this beautiful green leaf because the sun is setting this way and the sun shines onto this green leaf. And now I can see all the different little, how do you call them? Veins, aders, or
veins,
a little,
kind
of
veins
arms.
In the leaf.
Yeah, in their leaves. And that's possibly something because I really love the green as well. It looks beautiful.
And okay, that's a beautiful image. That's a very beautiful image. That reminds me of the first time I did creative writing. I actually looked at leaves and I saw the movement of the leaves in the wind that were creating a movement in the shadow on the stem of a tree. Mm-hmm. And that constant movement of shadow forms actually caught my attention. And that was the picture that I worked with. Then you can start writing about this. And because we want to explore something we don't know yet, we don't want to explore what we already know and what is obvious and what's just on the surface, because we know that. So we want to go a bit deeper into our body. Our body has connected to something outside of us, and there is actually a context for that, and we want to explore this. You could describe this scene, this picture, from three different perspectives. So you could look at it first from the third person, you're describing it like a witness. You could then describe it in the second person, using the second person, so you, and you dialogue with it. And then you can write about it in the first person. Yeah, you actually connect with this image and write about it from your perspective. So you have three different perspectives to work with. And that's quite tricky for the beginning to make that difference, that separation, but it actually creates more possibilities for you and to explore deeper something you normally don't even take notice of.
Yeah.
And with that writing, you can then think about the next step. Why do I actually want to write a journal? Now, after this observation of this leaf, you can say, is there actually a situation in my life that is presented or represented here? Like for me with the shadows, it was, that I was reading through letters from my deceased father who wrote from the war back to his family. And for the first time I saw these letters, and now that was the ripples of the shadows on that stem. Yeah, those leaves that I saw. I was dealing here with a shadow of the past, and I explored that quite deeply, and it was really healing, absolutely healing. So that is, for example, how you start, and then you write why do I actually want to do journaling? You look a bit deeper and you find something that represents that wish. And it could be many different reasons. And it's very individual. So there is not one size fits all instructions and reasons to do journaling, because it's a very open area, very creative. And that's what's the beauty of it. The same with focusing, felt sense focusing. It's very individual. There are a few rules that you can follow, but it's actually very individual. And the rules that I would follow is that you actually enter a process. It's not about result. It's actually about being in that process and that you open yourself to it. No self-criticism is the first rule. Never criticize what you write, because we often have an inbuilt critique, and that can be very scathing and very negative. We write everything, no, don't like it, but no judgments at all. That you actually set the parameters for your journaling yourself and stick to them. It is a repetitive process, but how often you write, when you write, is your decision, and it can also adjust and change as long as you actually commit to the process. Because over time, the beauty is that over time you see a pattern forming and you learn, you become more confident to get in touch with your feelings and to express them in words. Because very often, I write in English, but that's not my first language. So I'm not a native speaker and I still write in English. So sometimes it is a process that takes time. Because, I have another language in between this.
I just wanted to say that because I think it's like one thing I want to say is that I think it's actually really amazing because, like starting maybe with a leaf and describing that or being the third person might get you also closer to you because it might be easier to write in the third person and then become at one point to maybe you are the leaf and you're just writing out of the view of the leaf. Yeah. And then you just, so depending on, I feel in which state you are in as well, it might help you really to come closer to the process that you said. But also I just actually wanted to say that with the languages, as we both bilingual, it's possibly really interesting also discovering journaling through whether you write in your mother language or a language you later learned or whether you maybe write, because I mean, okay, we both speak English and German, but then at the same time also we learned possibly English later and didn't speak it right as well with our parents when we were young, which possibly is also different difference. And for example, for me, to quickly share this, I found, for example, I said this to my friend yesterday because I really found like English is my emotional language. Like I can, for example, express my emotions really easier. And I also found it's an easier language for me because we don't have this formal speech to someone because everyone is their first name and you, or at least most of the time. It's a bit more informal. And I feel like that comes to me much easier also to connect. Well, I feel German to me is sometimes really, I can be emotional, but like it's, I feel like it's a bit harder and also harder to connect with people because you never know. Do you need to be formal now or at which stage in your relationship are you to be, to say Miss Mashik or Sylvia Z or you or, you know? So if you want to say something about
politeness, rules and all that. It's very interesting. And I mean, in different cultures, different languages, there are different distances between speakers and hurdles that have to be overcome and also ritually overcome before you actually have this closeness. While in English, everybody is you, hey, you. That even my professor at university is you. And that was for me at the beginning very confronting because I just couldn't get used to it.
But it's also nice that you're on one eye level, you know, because you're on, I feel like you're, it's even if someone is a professor or works in a bank, you still say their first name. And I feel like it has something also, how do you say this? I can't remember the word now, but like it just has something freeing because it's on a level. Yeah, liberating things because like you're just on eye level with each other. There's not like you're the student here and I'm professor here. It's like it's kind of like this equal being, and I quite like that. And I think through language and these kind of little things, I feel this is really makes a really difference also in the interaction and the relation to a person.
Well, that's the same thing at schools, no? At some schools, you have teacher and student connection. The only thing is then you can question how honest is that? Because in the end, the teacher will mark the student.
Yeah.
Then there is the inequality. So is it actually the illusion of equality?
Yeah, I just meant in adults now, not in kids and not in kids and adults. I just meant in adults.
But a very interesting point that you considered here. that is important for many other foreign speakers, foreign language speakers, that there is a good news. There is also nonverbal language, body language.
Yeah.
And the nonverbal body language is to a certain degree universal, even though there can be certain gestures represented differently in different cultures. There is a basic body language that we all understand. And this is actually what we want to explore first with the journaling. So we explore nonverbal. That's what I do with my therapeutic arts practice. So that's why the aesthetic form, or aesthetic form is in a very open sense, is very important to my books. So I can actually decide what format my book is. Very often I start my books with deciding a theme maybe. And if you want, I can show some examples here. Can you actually see that? There's more sunlight interfering here. Can you see?
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
This is one possibility of actually writing in a letter form, no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I integrated, it's hard to see, integrated envelopes that can be opened.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Oops.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be elements in there, you know, where you do letter writing, and that sometimes helps to get started. You start writing a letter, maybe to yourself, maybe to somebody. They may never be meant to be sent. What is that song? Knights in white satin letters are written, never meaning to send. So envelopes. You can also collect material different days in separate envelopes. Yeah. What day is today that you can write it on the envelope, and you can collect things that you find in nature. You can write keywords. You can write a poem. You can write a sentence. You can add other material. It could be from a snippet from a magazine that you want to use in a collage. You can just collect things. Yeah. Day one, you don't need to write anything at all. You just collect something, collect images, collect things outside. There can be also, it doesn't have to be a small letter envelope. There can be also bags that you create. Mm-hmm. There's a bag that I created made out of clear. Sorry, that's the keyboard here. That is clear material. And what I did then is I made a book that goes into it. And this is actually the shape of a house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is the sunlight as bad?
Yeah, it's like it's a... Yeah, that's better. It's like that's the show better. Light now, the sunlight.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. That's good. Yeah, you can see it.
Can you see it? Because I just have the small picture in the corner and I don't know if there is actually anything visible. Never mind. So here, this book is called Architecture of Healing, and that was about my mother when she passed away. And it was about our house, my room in the house. And the architecture in my village. There is a lot in there of my personal story, but all in pictures. Mm-hmm. There's hardly any words in there, but maybe one picture that I really like. And I always work with two sides because they correspond, the left and the right side. So here on this side, there is a material that I just found. It was just hessian material that I stuck in repeating the house shape. And there's a tree in the middle of it. So it's very organic. And on the other side, there is a plastic foil that looks like wood. And on there, I cut out some beds from the advertising material. And on the top, there is a tea bag. And the tea bag says, you probably can't read it, can you? No. The tea bag said, life is like a cup of tea. It's all in how you make it. So this is a visual expression of me dealing with the past. And you know, it was a goodbye to my mother, and I was there for her when she passed away, and it was very deeply touching, of course. Mm. But I also had to work through this house and the history and the story we had, and let it go. And this helped me, yeah, to see the beauty of the moment, to let it go. Yeah, a big process.
So is this what you meant with non-verbal?
Yeah. So visual journaling can be a start. Yeah, if you feel words don't really express what I want to say, you can work with images, collages. You can be inspired by music. You know, I often get inspired by music. You can use other books. This book, Belonging by Nora Krug, German-American, that has really inspired the book that the journal book that I just made. It's a very interesting book, you know, working also images and words.
Mm-hmm.
You can work biographically. There is a book here. It's an ebook, and that's really not expensive. It's called Biography Logbook by Karl-Heinz Finke and Laura Summerfield. It's a more anthroposophic approach, but it's very helpful because they look at life as a river, you know, the river of life, and you follow in the rhythm of 7 years and different phases that you go through in your life, and you look what happened. And there are key events around the lunar nodes, for example, where most people, something life-changing happens. And yeah, that has inspired me greatly. I can write them down if anyone.
Yeah, we can put them in the show notes. And then, yeah beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
Then I have here a book that a former art student has given to me. That's Rainer Maria Rilke, a famous poet, 19th century. A Year with Rilke. So there is a poem of his a day. For every day, there's one poem. And very often that inspires me. And my book is full of quotes from poets and wise people. So it can be Mahatma Gandhi, Maya Angelou, Rilke, Jack Kornfield. Many people have said incredible words of wisdom. And I use them to inspire me, and I apply them to my life, or see where they apply in my life, because they are very human and they apply to everyone. More examples. You could, you know, you can change your format. With the book now, I have started with an A3 scrapbook.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've cut it down to a square, which is this is my book now. You get little offcuts here. And that is actually another format. Some people might be attracted to that format. Mm. And I have done books in that format. And they're also very good notebooks you can take anywhere you go, because they are slim. And you can make several out of one big one. And you can always have it in your bag. And you can always have a pen. And if you feel like, oh, yeah, I should write that down, that's a good thought, you just write it, because by the time you get home and sit down, it's gone. Mm. So maybe you get used to doing that wherever you are.
Yeah, I guess if you're possibly also a technical person, you could possibly, I sometimes record my voice on my phone quickly when I feel like
good.
I take my voice recording, because then I can write it down later. And sometimes, and I think also, well, because I often copy quotes, or if I read something, or I take screenshots of things that I really like. So you could possibly even do like a photo collage, I don't know, print them out, or I mean, there are programs on your computer if you're more the technical person, where you can make like a whole slideshow with, you know, things. I guess depends on whether you're a tactile person or you're good in having visuals on your computer.
But you don't have to stick with one. You do one project and maybe give yourself, you say, okay, 4 weeks. I give myself these 4 weeks. And you give yourself some topic to explore, some experience to explore. Maybe I'm going around the neighborhood. What interests me in my neighborhood? You go with your phone camera around the neighborhood and you take pictures. And you take a picture of anything that interests you, and maybe you become more focused on things. Yeah. Maybe the famous one is the letterboxes, but there are other things that you could be interested in. And then you come home and you look at the material, and then you actually, because it's a lot of material that accumulates very quickly when you commit to the process, you can actually... you can take a few things from that and then start to use that in a meaningful way. So it doesn't need to mean anything straight away. You just have an interest. It's intuitive, it's spontaneous, and you use that, and then you work with that, and then you find a form for it. That is, for example, a book I made while being on holiday. It was actually something for uni I had to write. And it's a homemade book. So I love bookmaking techniques. I love to make my own books, visual diaries as well as written diaries. This one is written because I had to write text for uni, and the pages are ripped. Yeah, I just ripped pages, and there was the connection was an experience of weaving. And so each chapter deals with kind of weaving something together. And that actually turned into my work that I handed in, which... was an embodied inquiry topic.
Yeah,
it had a big book. with images in there, yeah, mm-hmm. as well, where I worked through some materials that we explored, belonging we explored, so drawings that we did, and we also have some, I have a whole recording of a presentation in here on CD. So there are lots of possibilities. You can do recordings. You can also be very spontaneous, and I like using time when I travel where I can't do anything. So here I just took a little commercial diary that I was given once, and in a hotel where I was staying just for a short time, you know, inter travel, there was a little sewing kit. Hard to see, isn't it? And yeah, I just cut a hole into the page and did some sewing with a string that I found in the hotel sewing kit.
Nice.
And I don't know if you can see that I worked with holes, no, piercing through.
Yeah, yeah.
And I played with that theme, no?
Yeah, okay. Cool.
And then the more, oops, things starting to fall out. I always have a glue stick and a scissors and sewing kit with me.
Yeah, nice. I think it's also you could
advertising material that is actually lying around somewhere. Everything can be integrated. I cut out words and put them together.
I think it's also you can make this kit. Kind of you can make this vision boards as well, right? Where you can possibly stick on and on and on things, or collect things and put them on top of each other.
I did that with this one where I actually made myself puzzle pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I made 75 puzzle pieces in here, and I stuck them on the wall, and each of them had something that had meaning. So here, this references voice memo that I have actually used here, like you described, you do voice memo. In the morning when I wake up, I do a voice memo straight away. Before I can think, before anything enters my mind, I just do a voice memo. And that catches you, you know, before your thoughts are too distracted. You're still in that early morning stage where you're connected with your whole body and mind. It's not separated into I have to do this, I have to do that, this is how I have to present myself. It's still you at that early stage, hopefully. You can also that's another book that I have actually made. And first I did, I worked with paint. I love the artist Gerhard Richter, and I've used a technique that he does to scrape paint over canvases. He does it on a large scale. I can't work on a large scale like that. I just haven't got a chance, no? And it probably wouldn't look good, but on a small scale, I can do it. And I did one of those paintings every day. So there is one for each day.
Yeah.
And then I actually added on a little transparent paper, I added some keywords, no? Of when I did that painting, what it actually meant, what it speaks to me about. For example, here, I'll show you in a sec. It says, letting go, ready for everything nonverbal. And that is the painting that go with it.
Yeah, nice.
So, and the whole book I call Resonance.
Mm-hmm. No, you definitely have some treasures collected resonance. There. Yeah. You definitely have some treasures collected there.
So. I love every book.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's a part of me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's even like once you're not there anymore, Dom and Moz have like a beautiful collection of their mom's kind of beauty and thoughts. And this is nice to also create something like this.
I hope they can appreciate it. But the last book is certainly the biographic work, is family history worked into it. So that is actually dedicated to them.
Mm.
There's another thing. You can just start with photos. No, that's also an access point. Look at photos.
Yeah.
Photos, and the way I started the book. Do we still have time? Or
yeah, we have like 10 minutes maybe.
So the way I started here in the book that I'm just in the process of completing, it's got 135 pages now. I didn't really expect it to go that far, but I just let it evolve. And every day it's a surprise. And that is actually the beauty of it, because we can discover ourselves, and we discover something about ourselves that we have never looked at before, and we can see our life in a new light, or we can perceive our environment in a new light. If we're not repeating the habitual way of looking at it, if we explore wider, we can actually connect with a part of ourselves that has that intuitive innate wisdom that is healing and that is positive and creative. And
I found sometimes also I write things down that, like, when I'm really emotional and I just need to sort my thoughts, and then I sometimes just burn it. Just to,
there's a few people who do that
who, you know, have like a little kind of ceremony to let this go on a subconscious level or something. Which I find also sometimes nice, because it's not specifically some things that I don't really want to read again, because they possibly more have like a negative emotionally connection. And it's just kind of nice having this ceremony. I think fire does something to it compared to throwing it in a bin. I think fire just,
Phoenix,
no one can see it ever again.
Phoenix is a creative being, but at the same time, that is really welcome whatever comes, and also welcome that burning ceremony if you do it consciously and if you actually feel what's happening in your body. But there is another way of trying things out. Once you have done, where you have burned a lot of your writing, maybe one day your feeling is, okay, what happens if I don't burn it? No, you sit with that moment, comes when you're ready for it. If you listen to it, if you're open to it, your mind may open one day to what it actually says. What is this experience that I have been burning a million times before, and it's still coming back because it doesn't go away. It wants some attention. And then you look at it and then you stay with it. Felt sense focusing is perfect for those things that we rather sometimes run away from or burn or do all kinds of things with. And then we actually stay with it. But stay in the present moment. We don't want that negativity to overwhelm us and trigger us and lose the plot over it. What we can do is stay with it, and emotions are constantly in flux. If we're not stuck on something, we can actually sit with it you slow down, you actually observe without judgment. What does it do to me? What does this say? How is my body reacting? What is triggered? And welcome it. Welcome it and give it some expression. And that's what you can do in a journal. Mm. Now, this is the feeling I feel stuck here. Why? What is it actually doing to me? And if you welcome it and listen to it and come to a point where you can actually accept it, and maybe one day you can even embrace it, and then let it go and move on, but in a very conscious way, you can actually befriend yourself. Yeah, it's a process of befriending all parts of yourself. You can then live with more integrity and more authenticity, because you're not judging and sensing this experience I want and this I don't want. Mm. That's human. That's what we do. I like this, I don't like that. I want to be this, I don't want to be that. But sometimes we are something, and there are parts of ourselves we have actually pushed away because we are ashamed, we are embarrassed, something with them we just can't accept.
Mm-hmm.
And they will come back, they will confront us again and again and again until they knock on the door and say, "Here, I'm still here. Let me in." And you can say, "Okay, I've pushed you off a million times. Okay, what have you got? What mm-hmm. have you got to say? What is there?" And mm-hmm. actually listen and then say, "Oh, I welcome you. And how can I deal with you? What do you need me to do to actually console or heal or reconcile or just plainly accept?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. I think this is really nice insight of journaling. Is there anything you want to share that I haven't asked you?
I think we have actually covered a lot of ground.
I think so too, yeah.
Important is, though, when you are in a situation like that, when you're facing something, you know, like I did this year with all the things going on around us, which was already hard to cope with. And then I actually looked at my father's letters and, you know, my German background and that terrible war that happened, that usually pulls me down. And I feel incredible shame because my father was involved in the war. He didn't have a choice, but that doesn't matter. You know, people look at you, you're from Germany. Oh, yeah, the picture is already there and it has nothing to do with me. That's why I disconnected from this part of myself, from the past, from that history. And I'm now, I have throughout the whole COVID period, I have actually befriended this part of myself, of my personal history, and I actually have found positivity through it and acceptance. And I still love my father for what he was to me. And he was my idol, and I had completely blocked out all that history. That's what the whole of Germany did, all those people who didn't die in the war. There was no monument. There was no monument with a name on it, no, died as a hero in the war. People survived, and how they lived, they were silenced. All their experiences were taboo. They were humiliating experiences, and they were defeat. They were not allowed to speak about it. And that has had an effect on me, on the next generation, and I don't want that to hand on to my boys. So I had to deal with it. I had to deal with it if I want or not. And COVID actually, yeah, as bad as the situation was, it has been an opening. And those letters that turned up through my cousin in Germany, it was just magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have actually really integrated a lot more of that past and that shameful history. And I have faced my own shame and come to terms with it. And yeah, I'm human. I'm vulnerable like everyone else. And if we can admit that, it actually makes us stronger.
I think you said already what I wanted to ask you next, but I just wanted to ask you whether there's something you would, through your experience, always ask that everyone like share from your heart, you know, something that you would like the world to know what's important for you. What do you think?
That was already, you're right. That was already, that was from my heart. And I have also worked with Maradi on that because I needed another person to share that with. So to a certain degree, I can actually do my own work here in the journaling, but I needed another person to dialogue with and to actually talk about these very private feelings of shame and to admit to another person what I was feeling. Because when it is witnessed, then it's actually more real. And then, I have integrated it as a real experience, not just in my head.
Yeah.
It's a real life experience now.
Mm.
And I'm very grateful for that. Yeah? And sometimes I cried, but that's fine. No, I'm not stuck with it as long as I can let go. I can sit with those feelings, and crying is cleansing. Life is a bit like laughing and crying.
Yeah.
The world is a stage. It's not only one thing. It's not only laughing. It's not only good. We can open the full spectrum. We are much happier and much more generous with others and ourselves as well. So courage, I want to share.
Yeah.
For the process. Awesome. Courage and curiosity.
I think you did, because you showed so many possibilities. So I think people will be inspired, encouraged, and encouraged.
I hope so.
And,
I hope so.
And then maybe we can we can share maybe your details if people want to contact you, or also want to know more about your art therapy. And also, maybe if you write down some of the books you mentioned, maybe some people are interested in having a look at those as well.
Yeah, sure.
Well, thank you so much.
A lot more books.
I know.
A few. So there is lots of things that are inspiring. And then people find their own things on top of it. But I'm also very happy that I can be a companion for people if they want to go through that process with somebody, of course.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing
Thank you so much, Lina. Thank you so much. It was my pleasure. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.